If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing, a furious devout drench. And I should raise in the east a glass of water where any angled light would congregate endlessly. In these words, the cheerful and diligent librarian poet Philip Larkin splashes the paper of poetry with enigmatic verses. Verses which might suggest that the gritty attrition of experience can be washed away. Verses which might offer a moment of transcendence as light and water meet. As we've already said this morning, such themes are, of course, within our own Christian tradition. Water features in both the opening and closing passages of our Bible, and we acknowledge the power of water, remembering Noah and the great flood, the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And this morning, accompanying Jesus on a journey from Judea to Galilee, we find ourselves at a specific well. In this instance, this well, this place where liquid resources can be accessed, this community resource is known as Jacob's Well in Samaria. Now, Jesus is taking an unexpected route. Most Jews would have avoided this area and would not have passed by the well. But it seems that Jesus is compelled to be in this place because, as preceding verses in the Gospel have told us, God so loved the world. And the distrusted Samaritans are very much part of that world which God loves. Jesus is asking for water at a holy well, a place of common reverence between Jews and Samaritans, a space that resonates with tradition and faith, but also with danger. It seems that Jesus is walking purposefully into an intimate setting. In ancient Jewish culture, we might say that wells are the ancient equivalent of Tinder. We can think of Jacob and Rachel, Moses and Zipporah, Isaac and Rebecca. This is, if you like, a dating site almost. But it's a very different and radical relationship that is being offered. What is happening at this well then? What is going on? So many themes, such a long passage set for today, that we could spend many hours exploring all of the different aspects that might speak to us. We could, for example, want to focus strongly on the living water, remembering that this is a reference, a play on the words in Greek, the phrase referring to water that flows rather than is stagnant, but yet also meaning living, linking it to the gift of eternal life that gushes up in the believer who receives Jesus' gift. We could focus on the morality of this woman, and there are many who see her as of dubious morality, guilty of an intriguing and history and status, and as such, someone who definitely needs, they might say, to be forgiven. But perhaps this is a misreading of the text. Her truth was that she was widowed, divorced probably, because she had not given birth perhaps to children, and she was intentionally isolated, and she was left to fetch water on her own because no one would want her bad luck to rub off on them. And into this experience of grief and rejection, Jesus speaks and he says, I will love you. There are many sermon options, but I want to think together about conversation, for it seems to me that frequently overlooked in this passage, in this interaction, is conversation. Jesus incarnates God in communication. The fundamental disclosure that Jesus makes through his conversation with the woman is that God is, by God's very nature, seeking to be in communication with humanity. And in our contemporary culture, there seems to be much that stifles meaningful conversation. In church, in civic society, in community generally, conversation needs, surely, to be cultivated and valued, longed for and lived. For without real conversation, we lack intimacy and understanding. We lack connection and empathy. Without real conversation, we risk detachment and distance. No wonder, then, that Jesus engages in and insists on conversation when it comes to believing. Since believing in John's gospel is akin to relationship, it goes together. It matters that Jesus' revelation of who he is to the Samaritan woman and her realization of who he can be for her happens in conversation. Their conversation is emblematic of what a true relationship should look like: mutuality and regard and sharing. Recent research has shown that for those who practice Christianity, 36% were influenced positively in their faith journey by conversation with Christians. And people are willing to listen, I find, when the conversation starts. Perhaps it starts less at a well, maybe at the water cooler. And we often talk about the water cooler culture in our offices and workplaces. So conversation is important. Conversation allows questions to arise, questions that communicate curiosity, an interest in the other, a longing for information and understanding. Sometimes with conversations, it's hard to keep on listening. It's hard to keep tuned in. But we see that while the Samaritan woman is at first confused by Jesus' offer, she doesn't let that stop the conversation. And God is there, keeping on listening to us, keeping on sharing the abundant love that he offers. Sometimes in conversation, we need to be prepared to be surprised. And when it comes to having a conversation with Jesus or about Jesus, we can, I think, truly expect to be surprised. We can expect God to reveal something about God's self that we have never seen before. The unnamed woman at the well is the very first one in the Gospel of John to whom Jesus reveals his true identity. I am, he says. He says this not to the Jewish leaders or to the disciples, but to this woman. We don't know her name, and she is a religious, social, and political outsider. But this is whom God is for, because God loves the world. But of course, today, as we gather here, there is, of course, only one story hitting the headlines: the spread of the coronavirus and its implications for human society nationally and globally. Reflecting on the virus and the response to it, the word isolation seems to figure again and again. People are being called to self-isolate or are forcibly put into isolation. Such isolation, my friends, seems to be the very opposite of conversation. Perhaps in many ways we are fortunate that isolation can be mitigated by the use of modern technology. And as we have heard, it's possible to tune in to a live stream from Wesley's Chapel in London, and the Pope has employed also the internet to give his Sunday address. And so the current situation that we find ourselves in today brings a new facet, perhaps, to our Bible reading. It might lead us to reflect on what is the nature of true Christian conversation and community. Where are the places of meeting, of encounter, when there has been advice about restricting gatherings and limiting the use of shared spaces? How can we keep talking Jesus and listening to Jesus in the current times? Now, I would suggest that we are going to have to be courageous and creative in caring and in conversation, in caring for the vulnerable, the elderly, the sick, the bereaved, and the fearful. We are going to have to be willing and wise in finding ways to keep the conversation between ourselves and between ourselves and God flowing. Indeed, the Methodist Church has called for mutual care and concern, reminding us that we are a people of hope who need to declare and model good news in these difficult times. And I believe that there is living water to be found in the rocky places that we now find ourselves in. During this season of Lent, it may be helpful to remember that traditionally Lent is a time when the ancient virtue of silence is prized, taking its starting point from Jesus' own isolation and silence in the wilderness. Jesus says, "I am speaking with you." How do we take that and share that in our communities? How do we speak with accents of love and of hope? Perhaps you've heard of the hashtag viral kindness campaign, where people are invited to print out and share cards and leave them on their neighbour's doorstep saying, "Hello, if you are self-isolating, I can help." Maybe an idea that we can use and share as appropriate. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God in communication. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that in these strange times, you will overcome our isolations and give us the gift of true conversation with you and with each other. Amen.